There have been large-scale massacres, we've heard. We know of women being taken and sold in the marketplace, and that continues to happen. And any time that Christians are found, or Yazidis, or Turkmen, or Shabbats, or Shia Muslim, and they don't agree with what Daesh would want them to believe in their own interpretation, then they are tortured and killed. So that is that, and that has been going on since 2014. As the government of Kurdistan has allowed the refugees to come into that area of Iraq, but the refugees have received no help from the Kurdish government. Of course, they received no help from the central government of Iraq either in terms of financial assistance, no housing assistance whatsoever. That's been the work of the church in Kurdistan with the help of churches and people from around the world.
Dominicans have a long history of being in this part of the world. How did the Dominicans get so involved in the Middle East, and particularly in Iraq?
The Dominicans have been there for 250 plus years, probably. This congregation is, I don't remember exactly how many years old, but this, it's probably the, in similar in years, it's similar to our own congregation. Ours was started in 1873. I think theirs was started somewhere in that same decade.
Now, these sisters are mostly Iraqi sisters over there now, but some American sisters have gone over there. You've gone over there.
Yes, we have visited there, but the sisters in the community and the sisters that stay there are native Iraqi women. They are native Iraqi sisters. It was in the mid-1990s, during the sanctions that the UN had against Iraq, when it was basically pushed by the U.S. government for us to put sanctions on Iraq because of Saddam Hussein's originally going into Kuwait and then that whole first Gulf War. And so much was happening to the people. You know, you had 5,000 children a month dying because they didn't have any health care. And during that time, the master of the order for the friars, Timothy Radcliffe, visited in Iraq. And when he came back, he is, of course, in Europe, but when he left Iraq, he challenged the U.S. Dominicans. And he said, you have family in Iraq. And because of the efforts of our government, we needed to do something. We needed to make a response. And so out of that challenge, we had three delegations in the late 1990s, early 2000, that went to Iraq. Delegations of U.S. Dominicans. Then we had, in 2002, we had two sisters who came to live with us in Springfield to learn the language and then to study in the United States. And they were here with us when the war started on March 19th of 2003. So for us, knowing Sister Luma and Rehab and their presence among us, it and among all the Dominicans in the United States, because even though they were in Springfield, they were kind of owned by all the U.S. Dominican congregations. And so we had a different view of what was happening over there because we knew the people from there.
And you yourself have made a fairly recent trip over to Iraq, much to your peril, I might add.
Well, I made the trip in January of 2015 with two other sisters. Our purpose in going was to be in solidarity with our sisters there, to let them know they were not forgotten, and the friars too. And so that was a very powerful experience for me. We traveled only to Erbil, Kurdistan. We did not go to Baghdad, which would probably have been somewhat more dangerous. It's less stable, certainly, than Kurdistan.
What did you see?
The sisters took us to the camps where the people were located. You know, when they first came into Erbil on that August 6th, the night of August 6th, 2014, you had all of these people coming through. First of all, they had to come through a checkpoint, and then they were coming to whatever available space there was in the city. Erbil is a good-sized city, I think it's about 500,000. And so people were camping out in parks on any green space they could find. And I think it took the NGO communities, the humanitarian communities, by surprise. So they had to really gear up and see what they could do. As I said before, the Kurdistan government nor the Iraqi government gave any assistance. And so the church in Kurdistan, actually, the local bishop, Bishop Warda, started trying to find housing to see what they could do. They got tents first, and then when winter came, you had to do something about that. They couldn't stay in tents. And plus, it was, by that time, it was raining, and so tents are sitting in mud. We got there approximately 6 months later. By this time, everybody was in housing units that the sisters would write back and call them caravans. I refer to them just as it's a temporary trailer. You had one trailer, let's say maybe 10 by 20 feet, and one family would live in that trailer. It was one room, and it could hold up. It sometimes had to hold up to 10 or 15 people. And so it was certainly not an easy thing. When I think of this people, what I remember was the loss of dignity and the lack of privacy. These were people who, before the sanctions, Iraq was probably the most advanced country in the Middle East, in the Arab world. They had a good infrastructure. They had a health care system, they had an educational system, a welfare system, that people were literate. And the people that came from Karakosh, and Sister Maria would always say, the Christian community, these were the entrepreneurs. They were professional people who had training, who had jobs, who had stores. And then to be reduced to living in one room with nothing but a few cooking utensils that you've gathered up since you got there, and a 4-inch foam mats that were covered in cloth that became your bed by night, and you stacked them up, and if you wanted a place to sit, you might sit on them by day. To be reduced to that was humiliating for the people, and that's what we saw. We saw that sadness on people's faces.
What's your community's involvement now, right now, with the sisters and friars in Iraq? What are you hoping to do for them?
So what we've tried to do, we have a way to collect money, and we have a way to get money directly to the sisters so that they can use it for their ministries. And their ministries, they have opened they have two kindergartens now. One was opening shortly after, a couple months after I was there. And then they have two. They have a primary school, grades 1 to 6. And the bishop helped by getting them property to put that on. And the Vatican, the Pontifical Mission, is helping them this first year for salaries. But for supplies and things like that, they still need help. So we've tried to get money for them so that they can use it in the ministry. Just recently, the sisters told us they prepared 350 children for First Communion in May.
It's not only Christians that have been persecuted by ISIS, ISIL, or Daesh, as you refer to them. It's also the Yazidi Muslim minority and some other Muslim minorities.
Correct.
Are
that
you also
correct.
Trying to help them?
Well, when we advocate for whatever we advocate for, it's for everybody. When the sisters opened their school, it is for everyone. It is not just for Christians. When I spoke about my trip to Iraq and would tell people about it, I spoke of it in terms of being a humanitarian crisis, put out from Iraq and our victims of this same genocide.
Besides perhaps sending donations to this cause, what else do you think Americans can do?
I think Americans, besides sending donations, Americans need to maybe we need to study and know a little bit of history. We tend to simplify what's happening, and we tend to not look at what part we, as a part of our U.S. government, what part we might play in that. We want, for instance, right now, we want we appreciate gas being cheap, and yet that has had a great effect in Kurdistan right now and Iraq itself on their financial situation, because that's what they depend on for income. And so I think for us, we have to be aware in a much broader way than we tend to be sometimes. We tend to see things through very simple lenses, and these are very complex issues, and they will take some study on our part.
How could someone make a contribution if they'd like to?
You can make a contribution to our community and just notate that it is for the Iraqi sisters, and then we will send that on to them. On our website, which is www.springfieldop.org, there is a donate button on our website.
Thank you, Sister Marceline, for this update on the situation in Iraq.
Thank you, and it was a pleasure talking with you.
I'm Judy Valente.